Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wasalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to make this a gathering by which we increase our understanding of you and your deen, Ya Allah. We ask you to make this a gathering in which our hearts become cleaner, Ya Rabbi al-Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to make this a gathering in which we get closer to you and your Prophet, Ya Allah. We ask you to guide our hearts, Ya Rabbi al-Alameen, and make our intentions pure for this gathering, Ya Rabbi al-Alameen. Ameen, Ya Allah. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah. Salatu wasalam ala Rasulillah. So last week, we were on the section where Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba, rahimahullah ta'ala, subhanallah, such an amazing scholar, in the last section he spoke about dunya. He spoke about dunya and the effects of dunya and how having too much of a connection with the dunya is harmful for us. Absolutely amazing the way Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba, rahimahullah, just put all of that together, inshallah. To this week, inshallah, what we're going to be covering is, in this section of his poem, what Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba was doing was he was mentioning all of the things of creation. You good? Yeah. All of the things of creation which are distractions or pulling us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba was mentioning all of these things. So whenever he was mentioning a new section, he would say, wa minhu, wa minhu, wa minhu, which means, and from it, from it, from it. And what he's referring to is, from the creation, there's this thing. From the creation is dunya. From the creation is this. This one right here that we're going to talk about today is perhaps, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the reasons why I chose this poem. He's going to speak about something today which is a major, major distraction or problem for most of us in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we begin today's talk, remember, the purpose of this poem we're studying is about your connection with Allah, your ta'alluq ma'Allah. And so he's letting you know the things that disconnect you, the things that keep you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So listen to what he says in this section. He says, Rahimahullah, وَمِنْهُ صَاحِ النَّاسُ فَارْفَعِ الْهِمَمْ فِي الْقَوْفِ وَالْتَّمِ عَنْهُمْ تُحْتَرَمْ. He says, and from the creation is other people. Other people. In this section, he's going to talk about the thing that gets most of us off track, and it's other people. What's our relationship with other people? How many times we want to do righteousness, but other people. How many times we want to be on the track, but other people. How many times we know what we want to do the intention for, but other people. So he says, وَمِنْهُ, and from the creation, صَاحِ النَّاسِ, are the other people. He says, فَارْفَعِ الْهِمَمْ. So you have to raise your desires, fil khawfi wa tama anhum. You have to disconnect. Listen closely. He's dropping gems on us. He's like, you have to disconnect your khawf, and khawf means your fear. You have to disconnect your fear and your hope from people. Disconnect your fear and hope from people. A lot of us right now in this room, we have a lot of our hopes set up in people. And then when they don't meet those expectations, we're crying, we're upset, we're heartbroken, we're this and that. And you come talk to me, I'm like, you wasn't there at the halakha. Because at the halakha, I already told you the people aren't going to fulfill your hopes. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to fulfill those hopes. Stop placing those hopes in the creation of Allah. So he says, raise your expectations in fear. First of all, don't be afraid of anyone. Fear Allah. And then the other side of fear is hope. So he said, فَرْفَعِ الْهِمَمْ, raise your aspiration in fear and hope, عَنْهُمْ, from them. From who? Other people. Other people. You understand what I'm saying? Like, when I'm coming to this halakha, like, I can't be sitting there, man, I hope everyone's going to like what I'm going to say. I hope they enjoy it. Like, I can't be thinking like that. Why? Because that distracts you from my hope in who? Allah. I hope Allah accepts tonight, yo. I hope Allah accepts. That's what I'm thinking. But if I'm focused on y'all acceptance or fear of you, then that's distracting me from a greater fear or greater hope. So he says, and then he says, what will be the effect if you're able to elevate your aspirations of hope and fear above people? He says, tuhtaram. Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba rahimahullah, he says, you will gain honor. You'll gain honor. You'll gain izzah. Tuhtaram. La tashtakil hajati lil khalaiqi. He says, don't complain of your needs to the creation. Don't complain of your needs to the creation. La tashtakil hajati lil khalaiqi. Don't complain of your needs to the creation. They're not going to take care of it. بَلْ افْتَقِرْ إِلَى الْقَدِيرِ الْخَالِقِ. He says, rather, show your faqir. Show your utter and absolute need to al-qadir al-khaliq. To the one who's able. Notice he used the word qadir. Because when you need help, you need someone who's qadir. Because you're like, yo, who can do this? Who can? Who's able to take care of this problem I got right now? So he says, فَفْتَقِرْ إِلَى الْقَدِيرَ الْخَالِقِ. Just become completely in need of al-qadir al-khaliq. Beautiful stuff. Then he says, وَأَعْرِذًا أَنْهُمْ لَدَى الْإِدْبَارِ وَأَكْسِهِ وَقْنَعْ بِإِلْمِ الْبَارِ. Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, yo. He spent 30 years exiled. 30 years exiled. And when he came back, he had nothing but love for the people who kept him in prison for those 30 years. Nothing but love. He's like, he'll explain why though. Look what he says here. He says, وَأَعْرِذًا عَنْهُمْ لَدَى الْإِدْبَارِ. Now the word أَعْرَضَ in Arabic means to turn away. أَعْرَضَ عَنْ means to turn away from something. So he says, وَأَعْرِذْ عَنْهُمْ, and turn away from them. Who? Other people. وَأَعْرِذْ عَنْهُمْ لَدَى الْإِدْبَارِ, when they turn away from you. وَبِالْأَكْسِهِ, and when they're also coming to you too. What is he saying here? This may sound like, wait, what do you mean? See, here's the deal. It's easy for me to be like, oh, I don't care about her when she's like ignoring you. Or when he's like not answering your text messages. I don't care about him. You get i'rad an when someone's turning away from you. That's easy. The problem is, normally, our hopes and he's trying to teach us that we need to be at a level where our heart is not connected to people, whether they're coming or whether they're not coming. Whether they're connecting themselves to us or not connecting themselves to us, our hearts are set aside. I hope everyone understands, like, he's not going to tell us to be rude to people. He's going to talk about that in a minute. He's not talking about don't say salam to people, don't be rude. He's talking about the state of your heart and mind and its attachment with people. So there's two states. Either people are trying to itbad anka, like turn away from you, ignore you, or people are all up in your face smiling. He's like, in either case, a'arid anhum. But a'arid anhum means like turn your heart away. Everyone understand what I'm saying here? Everyone get it? Fahamtum, inshallah. I want you to misunderstand this. I don't, because he's not going to say be disrespectful to people. It's just about your hopes and your fear of people. That doesn't need to be placed there. It needs to be placed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَعْرِذًا عَنْهُمْ لَدَى الْإِدْبَارِ وَأَكْسِهِ وَقْنَعْ بِإِلْمِ الْبَارِ. He says, وَقْنَعْ بِإِلْمِ الْبَارِ, and be sufficed that Allah knows what's going on. Hold on. أَعْرِذْ عَنْهُمْ لَدَى الْإِدْبَارِ. Turn away from them when they're turned away from you. وَبِأَكْسِهِ, and when they're not turned away, but they're all up in your face smiling and stuff. But how do you... what do we do psychologically and spiritually when I don't have people to depend on? وَقْنَعْ بِإِلْمِ الْبَارِ. He says, have qana'a, which means suffice and be content with Allah knowing what's going on. Like, that's the substitute. That you're okay. You know what? Allah knows. I'm good. Allah knows. I don't need everyone else to know because Allah knows my state. Allah knows what's going on. So he says, have your kunut, which means your لا تقنطوا your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بعلم الباري. وانظر بعينين إليهم أبدا. Beautiful stuff. He says, when everyone you deal with, there's two eyes you have to look at them with. He says, all, everyone you deal with, everyone, look at them with two eyes. You got two set of eyes. وانظر بعينين. Look at everyone with two set of eyes. إليهم أبدا, always. عيني شريعتين. One eye of Sharia. The one eye is what Allah deems as good and bad. He says, بِأَمَرٍ بِالْهُدَى وَالنَّحْيِ أَيْذًا عَنْ جَمِيعِ مُنْكَرٍ. He says, all of the goods and bads, is this right, is this wrong? One eye you have is the eye of Sharia. And this is something we should all be building inside. Like, I'm looking at things the way that the Prophet would look at them. I'm looking at things the way Allah wants me to look at them. So he says, look at everything through two eyes. One eye is the eye of Sharia. Then he says, إِحْسَانَهُمْ إِنْ أَحْسَنُوا, and do good to them when they do good to you. وَعَيْنِي حَقِيكَةٍ بِالْعُذْرِ إِنْ دَشَيْنِي. The other eye, he calls the eye of حَقِيكَة, realities. What does he mean? He's going to break it down for us. He says, at the time of them being like shame, evil, and bad to you, look at them through the eye of haqiqa. What is haqiqa? Haqiqa in Arabic means realities. So he says, look at people through their eyes of reality. But what does that mean? That's too abstract for me. He says, he's going to break it down. He says, وَلَا تُآخِذْهُمْ بِمَا عَسَوْكَ أَوْ مَنَعَوْكَ مِنْهُ أَوْ آذَوْكَ لِأَنَّهُمْ فِي قَبْضَةِ الرَّحْمَانِ وَجَبْرِهِ فِي كُلِّ مَا أَوَانِ إِنَّ الَّذِي يُلِيكَ مَنَعًا أَوْ ضَرَرْ هُوَ إِلَٰهُكَ تَعَالَى لَا بَشَرْ. Let me break this down before I read it. He's basically saying, you know, sometimes you're driving, right? And especially in Dallas, yeah, y'all don't know how to drive. But sometimes you're driving, for real though. Sometimes you're driving and someone in front just does some like whack stuff, like just out of nowhere. Like the thing where you're just like, where are you? Like, you know what I'm saying? So now at that moment, like normally, the normal human reaction is frustration, flip them the bird or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like some type of anger towards the person. You know what I mean? Like some type of anger towards the person. He said, remember, Ayn al-Haqiqa. Ayn al-Haqiqa says, he's like, whenever there comes to you, he says, whenever there is someone stopping you from something, someone harming you, he says, remember this. لِأَنَّهُمْ فِي قَبْضَةِ الرَّحْمَانِ. He's like, remember that this person is under the control of Ar-Rahman. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one controlling this person. He says, وَجَبْرِهِ فِي كُلِّ مَا أَوَانِ. And Allah is the one controlling all of this. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِي يُلِيكَ. The one causing this to happen to you. هُوَ إِلَاهُكَ. It's your Lord. La basha. That's Ayn al-Haqiqa. So again, I want you to put this in perspective. The person cuts you off, and the first natural reaction is all this anger towards the person. But he's like, Ayn al-Haqiqa tells you what right away? It's Allah. Like, you see Allah behind everything. And that's Ayn al-Haqiqa, when you see Allah behind everything. You see, and then you begin to get that qunut, that cool, alhamdulillah. You just laugh the dude off. Dude cut you off. Let's do it, yo. All right, Allah. See? All right. No, for real. So what he's saying is, Ayn al-Sharia is one way you look at creation. And that's how you judge, right, wrong, good, bad, whatever. Ayn al-Sharia. Qala Allah, qala Rasul. Allah said, the Prophet said. Then the other ayn is going to help you when hardship comes to you. Cutting off is an easy thing. Professor, you know, says you plagiarize. I ain't plagiarize. What? I'm for real. Like, I didn't plagiarize. I put my quotes, everything, and still, I'm gonna give you a B. You know what? Alhamdulillah. Ayn al-Haqiqa, that ain't you. Professor, that ain't you. Argue all you want, it's not gonna change the grade, right? You're like, alhamdulillah. Well, the point is, it doesn't mean that we don't stand up for ourselves and things like that, but doing something is fa'il. Fa'il means the one doing something. And if the question is, who's the true fa'il? Who's the true doer of these things? So he said, everyone you deal with, you look at him through two eyes. Ayn al-Sharia and Ayn al-Haqiqa. Beautiful advice. He says, وَكُفَّ عَنْهُمُ الْأَذَى. He's still talking about the people now, right? He says, hold back from them any harm. وَأَعْتِهِمْ حُقُوقَهُمْ. And give them their rights. This is huge. Listen, the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, there'll come a time when people will stop giving you your rights. And then the Sahaba were like, okay, then what do we do? See, the normal reaction, the childish or spiritually immature reaction, when someone doesn't fulfill their rights to you, what's the immature, spiritually immature reaction to that? I don't give the rights to them. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, no. Always fulfill the responsibilities upon you. And ask Allah to fulfill your rights. Because at the end of the day, check it, this is huge. If your dad, if your mom, if your son, whoever is not fulfilling their responsibility to you, you're not fulfilling your responsibility to them for their sake. Whose sake are you fulfilling it for? There you go. So the reason I'm doing it is still there. So the whole point, we get in this cycle. Oh, you didn't do this. You didn't, so you say to someone, yo, respect your pops, yo, respect your mom. But man, he didn't even take care of me. Like, what's that got to do with you? No, for real. Think about what I'm saying. What does that have to do with you as a person? Because you're the one going to stand before Allah. He's not going to stand in your place for Allah, before Allah. You feel me? You have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to Allah. And so he says at this point, وَأَعْتِهِمْ حُقُوقَهُمْ. Always give people their huquq. Always fulfill the rights that other people have upon you and fulfill their huquq. وَاسْبِرْ أَذَنْ مِنْ نَحْوِهِمْ. And have patience when أَذَنْ comes from their way. مَعَسِيَاسَةٍ نَسِيهَةِ أَبَدْ. Always giving good advice. Abad, always. وَشَفْقَةٍ وَرَحْمَةٍ. And have mercy with the people. وَرَحْمَةٍ. Remember how earlier I was like, he says turn away from people? But look what he's saying later. But have mercy. Have shafqa. Have love for them. دُونَ حَسَدْ. And no jealousy. وَحَسِّنِ الْخُلُقَ ظَاهِرًا لَهُمْ. Have beautiful character with them externally. مَعَ انْقِبَاضِ بَاطِنٍ وَأُمَّهُمْ. He says, this is really interesting. He says, externally, have the best of character. وَحَسِّنِ الْخُلُقَ ظَاهِرًا مَعَهُمْ. He says, but then he says, مَعَ انْقِبَاضِ بَاطِنٍ. While your internal is holding back from them. Well, what does that mean? Hold on. He's like, externally, you're completely with them. Anamak, I'm with you. I'm showing akhlaq. I'm showing love. I'm showing affection. I'm showing nasiha. I'm showing all of these beautiful things. But guess what? Is my heart with you completely? My heart's with Allah. So, zahiran, I'm with you. Internally, my heart, inqibab, I'm holding it back. Inqibab means to hold back. Internally, I'm holding back. Why? Because my heart's for Allah. It's heavy stuff, I know, but it's beautiful because he's warning us. The reason why I thought this section was so important is because a lot of our actions are predicated by how people think about us. And what I'm trying to get you to understand through this lesson, and what Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimahullah is telling us, is like, never have your heart in the people, on the people, focus on the people. You won't accomplish the goals that you need to accomplish. And you'll always be controlled by what people think about you. And so what he's trying to tell us here, he's like, look, externally you be the best Muslim possible. But internally, yo, my heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِالرِّفْقِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ مَعَ سِيَانَ صَدَرٍ وَقَصْدِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْأَمَانَ. You're gentle with them, you show ihsan to them. مَعَ سِيَانَ تَصَدَرٍ. You protect your heart. وَقَصْدِ الْخَيْرِ. You want good for them. وَالْأَمَانَ. And you're trustworthy. فِي أَذَاهُمْ لِرَبِّكَ تَمِيلُ فَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ عَلَيْكَ يَا خَلِيلُ. He says, when they're harsh with you, تَمِيلُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Lean back to your Lord. If you are able to do that, فَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ عَلَيْكَ يَا خَلِيلُ. This is an amazing blessing upon you. And that's the end of this section. So this section is all about not letting the people control you, your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهِمْتُمْ. Let's go to the next section. The next section is a short section, but it's really beautiful. And we touched upon it last week. Remember, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, guys, just so you understand, he's speaking about all the things that become a distraction between you and Allah. All the things. Now, here he's going to go into another thing that's really deep, and it takes a deeper understanding of Islam for you to truly understand what he's talking about. Look what he says next. وَمِنْهُ فَاسْتَمِعْ حِكَايَتِي الْعَمَلْ لَا تَعْتَمِدْ عَلَيْهِ حَيْثُ مَا حَصَلْ. Another thing of the creation that distracts you from Allah, he says, listen to what I'm about to say. Al-amalu, your actions. Your actions. What do I mean by your actions? What you do, your prayers, your zakat, your good actions, your bad actions. All of the actions that you do, those actions can become a distraction between from you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does he say? He says, la ta'temid alayhi. Never depend on your actions. Never put your i'timad. I'timad means my trust. My trust isn't in my actions. My trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haythu ma hasad. Whatever they are. La tatlubanna alayhi ajran wa thawab. Likathrati al-ilali min fihi fil hisab. He's like, stop looking for reward and thawab for your actions. Stop looking at your actions like, wow, look how good my actions are. I'm going to get so much reward for them. Why? لِكَثْرَةِ الْعِلَلِ. How many deficiencies are in your actions? How many deficiencies are in your actions? فِيهِ فِي الْحِسَابِ. On the day of resurrection, you'll see what was truly in those actions. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ وَلَوْ كَانَ كَثِيرًا لَكْ فَلَا يَغْرُرْكَ كَيْدُ ذِي الْقُرُورِ. He says, and the second reason you shouldn't be depending on your actions is أَنَّهُ لَيْسُ لَكَ. Even if there's a lot of them, وَلَوْ كَانَ كَثِيرٌ لَيْسُ لَكَ. It wasn't because of you did it. It wasn't you who did that. فَلَا يَغْرُرْكَ. So don't be all deceived. كَيْدُ ذِي الْغُرُورِ. By the trick of the deceiver. What is he saying here? So listen, a lot of times when we do actions, we start to depend and see our state. And our relationship with Allah is based on the actions we do. What he's trying to say is that's a trick right there from Shaytan. Stop depending on your actions. And why? He says, first of all, I'm going to tell you two reasons why you shouldn't depend on your actions. Number one, we just prayed Isha, right? How focused were you in that Isha, yo? If we could sit there and like put on the screen, like imagine this. Oh man, Basir, right in front of me. Imagine Basir, yo, on the screen, we just played what you thought about during the Isha. Khalid, we leave you out of it. I'll speak for myself then, yo. Sisters, imagine, just for Salatul Isha, we all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, alright, let's see what somebody was thinking. My man. Alright, we see everything you were thinking. Now I want you to think of yourself. Would you be happy? Would you be like, yo, show mine? Like, nah, man. One and two and three, I was like, forgot where I was, two and three. Or you may even remember where you were. The point he's trying to say is لِكَثْرَةِ الْعِلَلِ. He's like, don't stop looking at your actions as if they're so amazing. They're not that good. Be real with yourself. They're not that good. And the second reason is the tawfiq to do the action came from who? So he's like, لَيْسَ لَكَ. It's not your own doing. It's Allah's bounty upon you. So what is he trying to say? I want everyone to understand what he's trying to say. He's like, stop depending on your actions. Look what he says next. وَكُنْ لَهُ مُصَحِيًا بِالصِّدِقِ. But be a person who's always trying to correct the action with sincerity. وَقُلْ إِذَا دَخَلْتَ دَارَ الْحَقِّ مَا شَاءَ رَبِّي كَانَ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِالْإِلَهِ بِالْأُولَاءِ. He says, be a person who's always fixing the action and say, when you enter into the house of Allah, MashaAllah, by the will of Allah, Rabbi, my Lord, kana, wala hawla wala quwwata, and there's no power and no might, illa bil ilahi dil ula. What is he trying to say? You know the hadith says, a man that has committed no sin. He lived on an island for 50 years straight. The Rasul said he lived on an island for some odd years. And when he dies, Allah tells the angels of Rahmah to go and take this person. Listen to this hadith. The angels go to take this person, and the angels of Rahmah say, Allah has given you Jannah. Rasul said, as this man is entering Jannah, he'll say, enter me into Jannah based on my actions. Because this man hasn't disobeyed Allah once. Allah will say, you want me to reward you based on your actions? He says, by my actions, enter me into Jannah. Allah says to the angel, send them to hell. And he says, why, Ya Allah, I never disobeyed once. He said, all you did, you couldn't pay back for one sip of water I gave you. One sip of water I gave you, all that ibadah that you had even right now. What about all the other blessings I gave you? So then he will say, okay, by your mercy, by your mercy. And Allah will say, okay, enter him into Jannah by my mercy. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one will enter into Jannah. This hadith, no one will enter into Jannah based on their actions. Based on their actions. You know what you enter Jannah based on? Rahmah of Allah. The Sahaba said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, you too? Wait, you're not going based on your actions? You pray tahajjud, you pray all of these, you're not going to Jannah based on your actions? He said, لَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدْنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ. The only way I get to Jannah is if Allah showers me and completely covers me in His mercy. What we're trying to say here is not that actions don't matter, but stop depending on your actions. Our dependence is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. تَغَمَّدَ means completely cover. To completely cover. Now look what he says next. And again, I don't want everyone to think like your actions don't matter. Because what he's saying is you do the righteous actions, but your trust isn't in the action, it's in Allah's mercy. That's the difference. Because if I trusted in my action, like the action isn't all that. Like I'm ashamed if you really saw what my actions were. Like when I do them, I'm talking about. You know, one scholar, he used to say, Istighfaruna yahtaj ila istighfar. Like what? Our seeking forgiveness, we should seek forgiveness for how we seek forgiveness. Istighfaruna yahtaj ila istighfar. We should seek forgiveness for how we seek forgiveness. For real, like, y'all. Like, seek forgiveness for how you're seeking forgiveness. So again, I want us to understand that when Allah rewards you for an action, that's out of His fadl, His bounty. You know the example I can give? Binti, but you know sometimes walad tifl yani yaktubu shay lak, like they like color something, right? Right? Fam, right? And you see it, and you're like, what do? You know, right? Do y'all get what I'm saying? Okay, I can. Right there. So you're like, oh, right? But in reality, the podcast people are going to be like, but in reality, it's like, it's okay, whatever, right? But it's the effort. It's the effort, and you put, like, yo, you put it up. And honestly, as a father, you're really proud. Even though in reality, if one of y'all, you're like, you get it? Yeah, everyone getting the thing, right? My teacher said, that's how our actions are. That's how our actions are. And that's how Allah's mercy is too. Now you get it? Now, now imagine that person was like, give me an agenda based on this. He's like, no. That ain't no Picasso right there. No. You feel me now? That's what I want you to understand. It's Allah's mercy. The action is the effort. The action is the effort. The action is the effort. That's what Allah sees. And that's what a father sees when, in that scenario I just shared with you. It doesn't matter how. It's like, subhanAllah. For me, you did that for me, and then your heart is so elated that you're like, yo, I'm going to put it up, and you feel so great. But the thing itself wasn't all that. And that's the exact same thing I need you to understand about your actions. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try my best. But it's really like scribbles. But Allah's mercy is like that father. Allah's mercy is far beyond the mother's mercy. Allah's mercy is far beyond the mother's mercy. And that's based on the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he one day saw a woman running to find her child, and she picked up the child. She picked up the child. And the child was like lost. And you can imagine the feeling. It's hard to even think of what that feels like. But if for a moment your little brother or someone was lost, you know the feeling is crazy, right? So the mother found the the child and picked him up. And at that point, the Prophet ﷺ said to Sahaba, look at that right now. Do you think she would ever throw her child into a fire? And they're like, her? No way, ever. And in the Prophet ﷺ, Allah's love for you is more than that mother. In that moment. So similarly, that's what I mean by don't look at your actions and all that. I'm not saying stop. I'm just saying keep things in perspective. Keep things in perspective and understand that it's Allah's mercy. May Allah give us tawfiq. Now look at this. He's still on the same topic. Is it still streaming?
Yeah.
You sure?
Okay.
وَقَالَ كُتُبِ الدِّينِ شَيْكُنَ الْعَلَمِ إِبْنُ عَطَاءِ اللَّهِ فِي رَأْسِ الْحَكَمِ. So he's now mentioning something that Ata'illah, Ibn Ata'illah mentions in the Hikam. It's beautiful. He says, وَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ اِعْتِمَادِ بِالْعَمَلِ. Like, what are the signs that you're trusting in your actions more than you're trusting in Allah? What are the signs? He says, وَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ اِعْتِمَادِ بِالْعَمَلِ نَقْسُ رَجَاءٍ عِنْدَ وُجْدَانِ الزَّلَلِ. Ibn Ata'illah, he says, the sign that you're depending on your actions is that your hope in Allah goes down when you slip up and make a mistake. You got it. This is like, subhanAllah. The sign that you're depending more on your action than Allah is when you slip up, you start to lose hope. That shows that you're thinking the action is what counts more. I'm going to say it again. وَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ اِعْتِمَادٍ بِالْعَمَلِ. The sign that you're depending and relying on the action, like how do you know if you want to judge yourself? نَقْسُ رَجَاءٍ. Your hope goes down. عِنْدَ وَجْدَانِ الزَّلَلِ. When you slip up. Oh man. SubhanAllah. Allah's help isn't there for me. I messed up. I sinned yesterday. What do you? SubhanAllah. You think Allah was helping you because you were praying Isha? It's like the dude that is going to Isha, gets a flat tire, and he's like, Yo Allah, what's going to Isha? Like, what? SubhanAllah. Do you think Allah's mercy was because of your actions you were doing? That's Allah's mercy. So he says, Qultu. Now, Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, whenever he says Qultu, he's like, this is what one scholar says, but I'm going to drop another perspective. Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba says, Qultu, وَمِنْهُ جَزْمُ بِالنَّجَاتِ لِلزُّهْدِ وَالْوَرَئِ وَالطَّاعَاتِ. And another sign that you're depending on your actions is you feel like you're going to Jannah based on your piety, your good deeds, and your zuhud. Like, once you start doing good deeds, you start to feel, oh, I got it. I'm going to Jannah. He's like, that's another sign that you're depending on your actions as well. فَحَيْثُ مَا يَجُرْ قَضَاءُ رَبِّي فَمِلَّهُ دُونَ اتِّرَابِ الْقَلْبِ لَا تَيْأَسَنْ عِنْدَ وُجُودِ الزَّلَلِ. Never lose hope. Never lose hope when you slip up. وَلَا تَأْمَنَّ عِنْدَ إِزْدِيَادِ الْعَمَلِ. And never get all happy when you start doing more actions. فَالْجَمَعُ بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالرَّجَاءِ. You need to always stay between hope and fear all the time. خَيْرُ سَجَايَاكَ is the best mental frame of mind. بِلَا امْتِرَا undoubtedly. What is he saying? Listen to me. Whether your actions are good, whether your actions are bad, you stay in between two states. Hope and fear. It's not that when I start doing bad deeds, now all of a sudden I'm scared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish me. Or when I'm doing good deeds, I'm like, oh, I'm good. I'm on, Because what did we learn last week? What did we learn last week? We learned how many good deeds mess you up. Let's keep reading. You'll see what he's saying. He says, لَكِنْ رُجْحَانَ رَجَاءٍ يُنْدَبُ عِنْدَهُمْ إِذَا الْمَمَاتُ يَقْرُبُ. He says, however, you need to be between hope and fear all the time. But they say that when maut or death is closer, you should always have husna dhan in the hope more, not fear. When someone is getting older and older, your hope in Allah should be more. When you're younger, your fear should be more, a little bit more, because it keeps you on track. He says, وَرُبَّ طَاعَةٍ إِذَا إِلَى الْإِعْجَابِ أَدَتْ مُتِيعًا دُونَ إِرْتِيَابِ إِذَا الْأَخْبَرُ بِأَنَّ عِنْدَ الظُّنُونِ عَبِيدِ مِنْ خَيْرٍ أَوْ شَرٍ يَبِينَ. He says, وَرُبَّ طَاعَةٍ. How many righteous deeds? إِلَى الْأَعْجَابِ. Lead to self-conceit. Lead to vanity. How many good deeds you do? Lead to vanity about yourself. دُونَ إِرْتِيَابِ. Undoubtedly. فَصَارَ حَالِكًا. And because of the outcome of that deed, you destroyed yourself. بِعَدْلِ اللَّهِ, by the justice of Allah. لِعُجْبِهِ, because of your conceit about yourself. بِعَدْمِ انْتِبَاءٍ, and you're unaware of the reality of the effect of the deed. Let's break this down again. How many righteous deeds? Because remember, we're talking about depending on the action, right? And if you're doing good deeds, you're doing this righteous action not to get all like, oh, I'm good, right? He says, وَرُبَّ طَاعَ, how many of a good deed leads to vanity? And now, because of the vanity in yourself, leads to halak, and you're dropping in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same action that you were depending on became the action that dropped your status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he goes forward, he says, وَرُبَّ إِسْيَانٍ, and how many a sin? How many a disobedience of Allah? إِلَى نِيَابَ أَدَّى مُتِيًا فَهَوَى الْإِجَابَ. He says, how many sins lead a person to repentance? أَدِّي مُتِيًا, it makes the person obedient. فَهَوَى الْإِجَابَ, and now this person is accepted by Allah. حَتَّى يَسِيرُ الدَّهْرَ مُسْتَقِيمًا, after that one sin, the person's life was straight. Like after that one sin, the person rectified everything. Like that one sin changed their life. That one sin changed their life positively. So he says, "Hatta yasiru dahra mustaqiman bifadlihi subhana hakiman." By the grace of Allah, who's most wise. Hakim, why? Because you thought that sin was the thing that's going to throw you off track. But reality, that sin, the feeling you had as a result of it, was the thing that brought you back on track. And the one who's all up in the righteousness, the result of that righteousness at this moment right now is that it threw him off track. It threw him off track. Right? And so the point he's trying to say is, what I would say for ourselves is, if you're in a moment of righteousness, never ever be deceived by the current state you're at, because you're judged by the last state you're in. Never ever be deceived by the current state you're at, because that's not what you're judged on. You're based on the last. They say Umar bin Khattab was beloved by Allah, and he was still worshipping idols. Hold on. Y'all didn't hear me on that one. Umar bin Khattab was the beloved of Allah. And what? At the time, he was worshipping idols. Why? Because where he was going to become, not where he was at that moment. And if you're depending on your action, you're looking right at that moment right there, and you don't know what the result is going to be of that action. And so this is... Yes. Okay. فَإِلْ He says, فِعْلَتُهُ دَقِيقَةٌ, the actions of Allah are daqiq. They're subtle. لَيْسَ يَرَى كَيْفِيَّةً لَهَا أَلَّذِي تَدَبَّرَ, the one who contemplates on Allah's actions can't understand. Like, you can't understand. Umar bin Khattab worshipping idols at that time, we don't realize where he's going to become. يُولِجُ فِي اللَّيْلِ نَهَارَهُ, he causes the day to enter the night and the night to enter the day. Like, can you imagine that? I know we see it every day, but can you think about how much brightness comes from the night? It's so dark you would think it would never get light again. But light comes out of it. He says, يُولِجُ فِي اللَّيْلِ نَهَارَهُ كَمَا يُولِجُ فِي النَّهَارِ لَيْلًا أَظْلَمًا. He causes day to enter into night and night to enter day. Meaning, he causes those who are on righteous deeds to slip up into wrong deeds, and those who are in wrong deeds to come into righteous deeds. So, Sheikh Amadou Bamba today talked about two very important things that will distract us from our relationship with Allah. Number one is other people. Other people, my heart's with Allah. My heart's with Allah. You heard? Other people distract you from Allah. Your hope, your fears, all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing is looking at your actions too much. And if you remember the example of the picture drawn, it's not our actions, it's the mercy of Allah that it gets us that acceptance. So don't depend on your actions, depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, inshallah. So you have any questions, inshallah, we'll stop here. Yeah.
How do you make sure that I don't think how do you make sure that if you audit on someone, it's not arrogance? feel like, oh, I'm better than y'all. I don't need y'all's opinions.
No, no, no. So the adit, okay, the question was, how do you know the adit isn't, the turning away from people isn't out of arrogance? And so the reason I stopped at that point for so long is I think what he's trying to say is not, see, we need people, and part of our deen is our humility before people. But what he's trying to say is a'rad biqalbika. That's the way I understand it. Like, he's trying to tell us that our hearts need to turn away from people because it's our hearts that's always connected about, worried about what people think, acceptance, not acceptance, so on and so forth. So the a'rad an isn't like literally turning away from people. It's that your heart isn't so caught up in what everyone thinks. Like, you're not all up in the comments section, like, worried. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta get off the comment section. Because
don't value
that. Like, that's not what, your value is what Allah, look, he said you're looking at everything with two eyes. Eyes of Sharia, eyes of Haqiqa. Right? So you look at things from those two perspectives, and don't let your heart be so, preoccupied with what people think. Come on, guys, really speaking, we wake up in the morning, from the moment we look in the mirror, we're worried about what people think. The moment we look in the mirror, it's all about how people are going to see me. That's it. And very seldom do we think, how does Allah see me? So that's what he's trying to say. Stop letting people be the thing that control your actions so much. So much. And now, we have so much social media contact that we're literally worried about, like, everyone. Everyone. Back in the day, like, how many people did you see in a day? What, 20, 30? Like, we're worried about thousands of people. People we don't even know. So that's what he's saying. The adith an isn't about arrogance. The adith an is like, protect your heart. You know why? Remember when I said, like, anything you love in the dunya is either going to leave you or you're going to leave it? When you don't let your heart connect that deep and your heart stays connected to Allah, that makes that pain a little lighter. It's still going to hurt when you lose love people, but it makes it a little lighter because the heart was primarily connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes?
How do you do that?
Oh, so khidmah, like you're serving your mother, your dad, your teacher, sheikh, someone, right?
People.
You're serving people but still doing a'rad?
Yeah, how do you do that?
Oh, that's easy because you're serving them for the sake of Allah.
Yeah, no, but like if you're like, you know, kind of invested in their kind of their well-being.
You're invested in their well-being, definitely, okay.
And you're worried about them and stuff. How do you do that, you know, like in your head, you said like, don't be...
Yeah.
How can you do that? How can you turn away from your heart?
That's a great question. I think we're misunderstanding what he means by turn your heart away from people. That doesn't by any means don't emotionally invest in people. Yeah. That's a great question. Because the Prophet emotionally invested in everyone around him. Like, he cared for them emotionally. And many times in the relationships we have, the problems we have is that we don't emotionally invest because, like, I don't want my heart involved. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is, like, there's scenarios where the Prophet ﷺ was being subjugated to a lot of negativity from people. And in those situations, he had to be told, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Oh Muhammad, it's like you're going to kill yourself over these people because they're not going to believe. Oh Allah, you're going to... Like, there's many examples where the Prophet was being told, you have to back up now from them because you're worried so much that it's going to destroy you. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it's a beautiful quality to emotionally invest in people, right? But at the same time, when the Prophet was asked, who's your best friend, what did he say? I have no best friend, it's Allah. It's a hard balance.
How do you find it?
Wallahu alam, man. That's tough.
And just to follow up, you said something about Ayn al-Haqiqah.
Haqiqah and Sharia.
Yes. Does that help answer that question? As in, if you kind of distance yourself, look at whatever is depressing you of other people, Allah working in the background.
Look at the Haqiqah,
yeah.
Go beyond them.
That's
beautiful. The brother basically said, like, basically when we're being depressed by people or anxiety caused by other people, through the Ayn of Haqiqah, which was to look, honestly, Ayn of Haqiqah is like the person is here and you're looking beyond the person. Like, you're literally just looking beyond the person. You're like, Allah is the fa'il behind this. But how does that relate directly to what he's saying? Because obviously when we understand Allah is the fa'il, this person doesn't hurt me no more.
Yes.
Because once I realize that this person is controlled by Allah, then this is not hurting me anymore because I'm realizing it's Allah behind it. That's Ayn al-Haqiqa. I'm looking at the reality that Allah is controlling this person.
That's basic. So if someone's distancing himself from people, if someone's distancing himself from people, per se, because of bad things that they're doing, taking their viewpoint, I think, of Ayn al-Haqiqa might give closure, like you said.
Mm.
Like seeing the problem itself is to better you or to teach you something.
Yeah. The issue is that Abdurrahman's question is like, as a social worker, mashallah, Abdurrahman does a lot of work in the community, right? And so his concern is like, there's a lot of people in the hood and in the neighborhood that I'm worried about, right? And you're telling me to turn my heart away from them, but I'm going to sleep at night worried about these people. So what do you mean turn your heart away from them? So what he's saying is beautiful too, because when you look at haqiqa, too, it'll give you that comfort too, that Allah is in control. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how you're worried about someone, you're worried about some scenario, and the only peace you'll get is to look beyond them and realize Allah is in control too? So wallahu alam, perhaps that looking at that haqiqa, the ayn of reality, is what will make that light for us. But by no means should I think we should interpret this to mean that you should not emotionally invest in people. You guys feel what I'm saying? That is not what we're communicating. We're talking about your heart is truly with... Let me give an example. I always give the same example. Where Hassan or Hussein asked their father, Ali radiallahu anhu, do you love us? And he's like, yes. He's like, do you love my brother? He's like, yes. He's like, do you love my mother? He's like, yes. He's like, well, how do you love all of us and still and love Allah? And he's like, no, I love you because Allah told me to love you. Like, my love is predicated on Allah commanding me to love you. And that's what's causing my love for you. So my love of you is an expression of my love of Allah. Had Allah told me not to love you, it would have been a different situation. And so that's how he explained the love of others also in line with the love of Allah. You only love those people for the sake of Allah. Yeah. Just like the Prophet is hurt. A Yahudi man died and the Prophet's crying. So he still cares for people. A'rad an is just don't let yourself be controlled by what people think about you.
Just one more thing. You were talking about expectations, like to move away.
Yes, yes.
So if you're doing social work, for instance, you might... Even though you're emotionally attached, worrying about them, but expectations per se, if you're being hurt, trying to distance yourself might help.
Yeah, expectations should only be from Allah, then.
Allah,
exactly. You're serving these people. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. Like, that's distancing your expectations from the people right there. That's a clear example of distancing your expectations. The questions come. No sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah, to make it du'a. Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to make whatever we have studied a reality in our lives, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, whatever we have learned, we ask you to make this a means to get closer to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive our family members who have passed away, Ya Allah, and give them Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, we ask you to heal those of our family who are sick, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Give them shifa kamil, ajil mustamira, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive our sins, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you for Jannatul Firdaus, not based on our actions, but based on your mercy, Ya Allah. We ask you to give us Jannatul Firdaus, not based on our actions, but based on your mercy, Ya Rabbil. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, for the highest level of Jannah, not based on our actions, Ya Allah, but solely based on your mercy, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Wa Salamun Ala Al Mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.